6 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Molloy Show. Mike, as you know, is out on holiday somewhere where there are palm trees. And I'm in our Nova M Hollywood studios where there are palm trees, none of which, by the way, is native to California. Just like nothing in Hollywood is native to California. Except, of course, the politics if you're not in Orange County. If you're up where we are, where finally it's kind of okay and fashionable, as we have been for a long time, trying to get the truth out. And a lot of good stuff is in store in that regard. We'll be hearing a little later from Roseanne Barr. She's going to be talking to you about what she's gone through. She's become quite the exciting radical, along with a presidential candidate from the Green Party, Cynthia McKinney, who's been completely shut out and can't figure out why she's not in the debate tomorrow night. She's running for president of the United States. We did try for Bob Barr, but once he took a look at my website, no calls were returned. Quel dommage. By the way, I just want to say hi to everybody who is FOM, friend of Mike's. I love Mike. Have known him now for, what, probably 3, 4, 5 years. My former producer when I was doing a daily show here in Los Angeles. Look at that, a hummingbird in my apartment. I mean, in our Nova M Hollywood studios. She used to work with him, and we got to use his studio to do some broadcasts back to L.A., and what a generous, nice guy on a Saturday night. Here's the keys. Have fun. What a great guy. So just so you know, I have a real friendship and admiration for this guy. He is the real deal, if there ever was one. And, you know, you have to support and love real radio people, too. We have so much in this business now. Oh, yeah, hey, you make Xeroxes over there. How'd you like to have a show? You know what I mean? And he is the real deal. Has been around for lots of years doing this. And what a brave guy. Seriously. What he's gone through, and he survives. And now, more than ever, is his voice heard by more people than ever at the most critical juncture in time. And this sort of reminds me, as we've been sort of endlessly debating this Sarah Palin business, this McCain versus Obama versus, I was going to say Bahama, which may be somewhere near where Mike Molloy is, but I'm not going to exactly say, versus all the rest of them. And one of the things that keeps being said is, well, you know, they don't answer the question. They don't answer the question. Is this shocking to anybody? Is it shocking that Gwen Ifill does not challenge Palin when she says, you know, are you really kind of satisfied with Dick Cheney's having created a unilateral position, sliced off the vice presidency and made it one of the largest, most powerful organs in human history? A man under whom the Constitution is not even sniffing? A guy whose office has worrying fax machines, endless phone lines, ISDN lines, you name it, prosecuting wars off his highly polished oaken desk. A man under whom or over whom or whatever, whichever way he is, we have no control, total secrecy. A man who has given himself, by law, thanks to the Patriot Act and 40 other executive orders, the ability, the legal ability to listen in on all your phone calls. Every JPEG you download at 3 in the morning. Wink, wink. Everything you do, breathe, and think, and feel, he knows about. And Sarah Palin's response to that, as you recall from last Thursday night, was, well, you know, having this kind of power, when used appropriately, is good for the American people, blah, blah, blah. Why, one wonders, wouldn't the moderator say, but wait a minute, this is unconstitutional. Are you saying that? But no, it's like, next. So tomorrow night we're faced with Tom Brokaw. Well, not faced with him. He's faced with us, if we're lucky. It is a town hall, which means, theoretically, the people in the town will be in a hall raising their hands. Me, over here, I got something to... You know what I mean? And might actually reveal some questions now. How many of those will actually get out? I'm not sure. But one of the reasons we feel like, well, they're not answering the questions. You and I know that. But does everybody else really get that? Look how we've been trained in the last, let's say, 8 years. I'll say 10, but it feels better to say 8 years because we know exactly what went on in that last 8 years. Take a look at what CNN was 8 years ago. It was a woman in a box or guy in a box with a little picture over his shoulder, a little caption talking about what went on that day. Now, CNN is thousands of graphics moving simultaneously behind. It's like, my God, my eyeballs, my dendrites are melting now. My synapses are frying out. You don't know where to look on the screen. Remember, like a year ago, there were six screens on CNN with crawls going on. And now, like Fox News, they've imitated when a graphic comes up, somebody's name, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. So you're so busy watching the show, you have no idea what happened with the content. And there isn't any content, which seems to be the real reality with that. And so we're all being hoodwinked and tricked into thinking we're getting eight times as much content. Now, people who study merchandising, marketing, advertising, propaganda, baby, will tell you that the brain with visual stimulation receives 200 times more than just sound. So with extra visual stimulation, you walk away full. You may not know anything, but you're full. My God, CNN was a full meal tonight. What did they say? Why, you know, nipple rings and, you know, important stories that always are breaking news. Like the bailout. This horrible meltdown of the largest economy of humankind to which all the rest of Earth is inextricably interwoven. The meltdown of that breaking news, O.J. Simpson. Huh? Huh? But it's true, night after night. So we're trained now, when the music comes up, the graphics come up, to pay close attention to the nothingness that we're fed. Hence, we get people like Palin standing there. Thank God Joe Biden did say, by the way, Vice President Cheney, the most dangerous vice president ever, ever. I mean, he made, that's probably not a fair analogy, but he definitely made some other people look pretty damn good. And he stood there, Biden, and said this, and of course, she, of course, loves the idea. We are now faced, imagine this, we know that Bush and Cheney have created the most enormous amount of executive power ever, never envisioned by the founding fathers. I mean, Madison is doing backflips, right? You've got Tommy Jefferson is pulling out his fiddle and, you know, busting the bow right over the back. It's horrible. These people are seriously bummed out looking down from the heavens. They can't stand a minute of this. And these people have usurped, created, and aggrandized this executive position to the place where it should not exist. That means that whoever the next president is, let's assume that, let's not assume anything. If it's stolen, which it looks like that's certainly, if you were listening to Brad Friedman last week or anybody else who's been closely paying attention, these are the messages we're hearing, and rightfully so, provably so. Should it be stolen that way, that person, or should it be legally, i.e. voters, you, me, show up and vote alternatively, whatever that means, wink, wink, and we win, whoever that person is going to inherit superpowers. Nobody is talking about this. Nobody is saying, well, Senator Obama, Senator McCain, you're about to get superpowers as a president, never envisioned by the founding fathers. Oh, my God. Artificially created by none other than the presidents and, of course, swinging Dick Cheney. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to go back to the Constitution because that's the right thing to do? Or are you going to take this big old brand new $500,000 Lexus of an office you're now going to be sitting in, fire up that motor and go, baby, go with all the gold trimming and diamonds dangling and oil derricks pumping? And are you going to go for it and jump off the high dive into feathering a nest like no human has ever known since the beginning of Yogi Duck? And these are questions not being asked, and they're extraordinarily relevant given that almost $1 trillion now, when you add up Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, Fred Smith, the Rolls-Royce dealership in Beverly Hills, everyone else that's getting bailed out, plus the 28 men at the top, with our no banker left behind. When you add all that up, you wonder, what is going to happen? So we're going to take a look at that, most importantly, talk to you about it, because it's really important, especially now with these debates coming up, to find out what our town hall, what you want said tomorrow night. And there may be ways, by the way, to make sure some of these questions actually get asked, because we've got, as we say, people who need people. And they're the luckiest people because they're going to be in that town hall meeting. So trust me in that we're going to try to pass along some of these questions here. We've got, by the way, conversation coming up with Roseanne Barr, with Cynthia McKinney. We've got some sound that you probably have not heard of McCain when he was being busted back in the Keating days. All that more fun as we continue. Nothing to do with the selection of Michael Jackson there. I just want to put that out for the record. And it's probably on a record right now, an LP by the sound of it. Hi, honeys. 22 minutes past the hour. Harris with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Mike, as you know, is at the end of his vacation. Coming back tomorrow, and we're taking a look at what's going on here and there. I mean, the top-breaking stories, so Herculean, so hideous, so out of control right now that it's just really kind of almost overwhelming. It's like, well, which one do you pick? Well, let's see. Here's 50 of them. It's an unusual time in history, but happily we have some ways out, and that, of course, is always about having the right information. I have, by the way, just a little insert statement here. Sitting in studio with me, a woman who you were on a CSI, a lot of things, right. Anyway, she's done some Sarah Palin parodies, which are virally infecting George Bush's internets. As you know, they're plural in his world. And we're going to talk a little bit about what she's actually learned as an actor. When you have to become somebody evil, like I remember asking, I think it was Patrick Stewart or somebody some time ago about, if you were to become Dick Cheney, how, as an actor, do you prepare for that role? And you get to find out not only what they really think of somebody, but really what they would have to. You know, I would sit naked in a room filled with blood up to my neck and release 1,000 white cats clawing at, you know, this sort of thing. It's like, good God. So this woman, Mercy Malek, whom you've seen in various TV shows and movies, became Sarah Palin. We're going to talk to her shortly about what she's learned about this woman to find out how real all of this stuff is. We've found out now that Sarah Palin's dialect, it really is one, has gone from 0 to 100 in a short period of time because, you know, it's not real likely that if you live in Alaska, you talk like this. You know what I mean by that? That's more like Chicago, Mayor Daley and all this kind of stuff. But hey, yeah, you know, it spreads like the flu. So much to learn there indeed. Well, I'm going to play you quickly a little piece of John McCain. My God, I can't say his last name. It was cocaine at one point. John McCain audio. And this, very interestingly, happened about, 10-plus years ago. Why don't we say more like 15 or 16 years ago, when the Senate got together, the Ethics Committee, and talked about the Keating scandal. As you remember, at the time, certainly at the time before about 3 weeks ago, the largest financial scandal ever in this country, you know, real casino-type Wall Streeting, right? And Keating, it turns out, was a major funder of John McCain. When I say major, I mean buddies. Buddies the way, oh, George Bush was buddies with our little friends at Enron, using their private jets to campaign for president of the United States, etc. And all the other lads that are now in the slammer, thankfully. And so he and Keating chum. Well, it turns out on C-SPAN at the time was televised John McCain being directly asked by the Senate Ethics Oversight Committee about his complicity. Listen to the extraordinary charges here. let me put it this way. Lean back. As they say in an airplane, relax. Lean back and enjoy the ride. It is cut number, I believe that would be number 6.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you will give in this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Many of our fellow citizens apparently believe that your services were bought by Charles Keating, that you were bribed, that you sold your office, that you traded your honor and your good names for contributions and other benefits. Many of these same people also apparently believe that your action and perhaps the actions of other senators and congressmen were solely responsible for the saving and loan failures of scandalous proportions.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And now it's a rerun, isn't it? Because who are John McCain's largest campaign contributors right now? Think bailout, by the way, the happy recipients of your 900. Let's actually crank that up over a trillion when you add in Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, the Rolls-Royce dealership, etc. Well, Merrill Lynch. Oh, Merrill Lynch, by the way, my sister's employer in New York City, she's out of a job in 2 months. Yep, along with everybody else. Let's see, Citigroup, another recipient. Goldman Sachs? Ooh, huh, where does Hank Paulson come from? The one who's receiving the $900 billion and gets to distribute it. Goldman Sachs. And whom did he just hire privately to help him do that? Former members of Goldman Sachs. Oh, Morgan Stanley, another huge John McCain contributor. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. Credit Suisse Group, PricewaterCoopers, the U.S. government. Huh? Yep, isn't that a beauty? Oh, Bank of America, FedEx, Wachovia, big in the news today. This is what's going on. We'll get a look at it in a minute. 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480.
With too many cooks.
Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. In for Mike Malloy, who's holidaying. He's going to come back with a rich, rich dark tan. And that golden hair of his. It's going to be fierce. Love it. It's like my hair. I'm bald. No, I'm kidding. Look at this. No, seriously. I'm not bald. But I have a tan. Who cares? I know. Anytime you get around palm trees, it's just a natural side effect when you go outside. Bombarded by ultraviolet radiation? That's another topic for another time, isn't it? And there's so much perchlorate in the water, I'm already aglow. If you hadn't heard, a couple of weeks ago, the Bush administration pushed the EPA to allow perchlorate, which is basically the side effect of rocket fuel or jet fuel used in missiles. In the year 2002, small amounts were allowed by the EPA to be in our drinking water, and then the Bush administration forced the EPA to agree now to allow 11 times as much cancer-causing rocket fuel to be in the tap water, now exposing only 20 to 60 million Americans to cancer-causing perchlorate rocket fuel in their drinking water. Because, as you know, George Bush, who is a molecular biologist and has a keen scientific mind, appreciates how this is somehow good for the human body. Because what's good for him is good for you, like what's good for General Motors, wallet, is good for you. Now, I also want to acknowledge that Mr. Obama is naughty, the way McCain is naughty, in that he has also been on the happy receiving end of a lot of these big companies that are getting bailed out, too. Hence part of his possibility for voting for it. But equally so, and you may not have heard this, something really horrible happened. Something really horrific happened, and this comes from the mouth of a congressman. If you're up at 3 in the morning, the way I am, the way Randy is, the way you are, I know it's true, and watching this endless C-SPAN, I know, but we can't help it, right? You would have seen Congressman Brad Sherman of Sherman, California. It's just a coincidence. And in it, he revealed that somebody higher up threatened many congresspeople that if they did not vote for this new bill, the No Banker Left Behind bill, or whatever we're calling it, just so that we can cope with it, that if they didn't do it, there would be martial law. Now, if you think about that, it's beyond extraordinary. As you'll know, I was in for Randy some weeks ago, and on my website, I have a one-sheeter of all the steps leading up to martial law. If you get a second, check it out. It's hair-raising, because this is the stuff that ought to be in the front of the New York Times. Absolutely. We're talking about abnegations of the Constitution. We're talking about surreptitious stealing of the Posse Comitatus Act, where now we know, as of October 1st, U.S. troops are finally on U.S. soil with guns for practice for the next year for crowd control. It's just an exercise. Look the other way. Stay in line, please. You can check this out. It's at GoHarrison.com, one word, GoHarrison.com, under the blog section, and it's Uncle Harry's One-Step Guide to Martial Law. And you can print it out, and I take no credit for your feelings afterwards. Just know that I am one with you in this. I want you to hear from C-SPAN several days ago. This is Representative Brad Sherman talking about why so many suddenly jumped and ended up signing this bill. I know we were all shocked a couple of days ago when suddenly the urgency came up again. No, we don't have a week or a day or 6 more minutes to think about it. My God, we dare not meet. And imagine the worst, bring in economists. I mean, wouldn't that be horrifying? We need only politicians to be thinking about things like economics, global warming, just all politicians' opinions completely devoid of any academics, any real science at all. Hell, why use science when you've got politicians? So here he is on C-SPAN saying what some of the backstory is, again, conspicuously missing from your color TV set.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering.
Yeah. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? Except, oh my God, except diligently having followed this stuff, as so many journalists have, particularly in Europe, where it's not so unfashionable to write about what goes on U.S. soil, to hear a congressman say they were threatened with martial law. That means that the troops on permanent exercise for a year for crowd control, which what do you need to control the crowd for? Unless you all run to the bank to try to pull out your money or something silly like that, right? 800-989-1480, our numbers here, 800-989-1480. Let's say hi to Steve in Phoenix. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Hi, Steve here. How you doing?
Doing groovy, my friend. Well,
kind of. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just listening before we went to commercial break, and there was a couple of points that you mentioned. I thought that maybe you were inadvertently misleading the audience.
Or vertently. We'll find out.
Or vertently.
Yes, we'll find out.
Well, you know, regarding Charles Keating and back when the SNL, there's no doubt there was a lot of dirty hands that went around that whole process. However, ultimately, I think as a point of law, Charles Keating was, his conviction was overturned, and he was set free as a free man, which, if I understand, you know, he was never convicted of anything.
Well, If you recall, it was a happily complex arrangement. As you'll recall, when the investigators came in, the federal investigators, there were five senators versus one regulator, outweighing the one regulator. So it was five senators against one regulator. And that was a brilliant ploy. We have seen mirrors of that over and over again with the Bush administration, haven't we? We've seen it with the Pentagon. We've seen it with all manner of different monkey shines they've created. We found ways to negate, you know, up is down, black is white, using the same scenarios. So, you know, what do you expect? It is up to you and me. And here's where I'm going to take personal responsibility, okay? Because I need to do that. I need you, to know that I am willing to do it to whatever length that I can. It is my fault, partially, that this stuff is going on. Somewhere, somehow, even if I'm up at 3 in the morning, somehow, somewhere, even if I'm leading peace rallies or with my wonderful friend Linda Blake or Mercy Malik, who's sitting here, all these other people marching for peace, showing up at everything, doing everything we can, I'm still asleep at the switch. Somewhere I have failed. If these people are able to steal the car from under me on my watch, I, as a citizen of this country, I am complicit in all of this because somehow I allowed it to happen. I somehow wasn't paying close enough attention. If you're willing to join me on that one, I would be welcome to have you in my coterie of obvious thugs here. Let's say hi to Greg in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Hello, Harrison.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, did you hear the debate when she said very plain that we will not let Iran have nuclear weapons or nuclear power? I mean, every large nation's got dozens of nuclear power plants. That's legitimate. That's peaceful. The only way you could stop them from having nuclear power would be bombing. In other words, she's saying John McCain's already made up his mind. He's going to bomb Iran.
Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe that's the case. I don't know what's in his mind because it's a very small place, and I don't think I'd fit.
But especially.
But you know what's in – go ahead. I shouldn't interrupt.
Happens,
let me step
there'll
back.
There'll be a catastrophic a nightmare world depression, and the world will hate this country and Israel for the next 100 years. That's why Israel, you know, we know they're not going to touch Iran because they know that would cause worldwide depression and they'd be hated for the next 100 years.
Well, you know what's really important here, Greg, is to sort of pay attention not to the symptom. These are all the symptoms, but the source. And if you're familiar with Noam Chomsky, he teaches us always understand the assumptions, and then we can predict the behaviors. And one of the things we need to look at, not looking at the symptom but the source, is why is endless perpetual war a good idea? In other words, why do you go into Iraq, invade it, and then stay when you could clearly bomb it flat, leave, and then come back or whatever? The reason you occupy and stay permanently, build 13 military bases, and now the largest embassy in human history, the largest embassy ever built. We're talking the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, of which there's remnants of that still in Macedonia. We're talking four oil companies in a U.S. embassy. Wait a minute. Did I just say the largest embassy on earth houses four oil companies? Well, what does that have to do with democracy, huh? And this is kind of the point. The reason you stay there perpetually and have 934 military bases dotted around the globe is because permanent war is permanent occupation, is permanent control. And the reason you stay, like we did in Vietnam and pestered and all that, is ultimately it ends up as a marketplace. When people are so worn out, so hungry, sooner or later they're going to eat. 800-949-1480.
Mr. President George, I'm going to Disneyland. I'm going to Disneyland.
Have you ever had the odds to go so high? You need a strength most don't possess. Or has it ever come down to do or die? You got to rise above the rest.
50 minutes past the hour. That would be 10 minutes before. 50 sounds like 15 if you mumble it, right? I do. I mumble. Harrison with you, in for Mike Malloy. Mike will be back tomorrow. Mike, our total buddy chum here, who is one of the greatest defenders of freedom and truth that I've ever known on radio, that's for sure. So, hey, what can I say? You already know. There's nothing I can tell you that's new that isn't totally true about him, that isn't just absolutely wonderful. We're taking a look at what's going on today. There's so many huge stories, all of which are just so undelicious, I have to say. I mean, I wish it were a wardrobe malfunction. Then we could just rail about how stupid that is. But alas, you know, OJ is still flickering in and out of the headlines, even after the market drops again today. If you don't have any stock, it doesn't feel particularly relevant, but it is ultimately, because everything, all of Earth, seems to be intertwined one way or the other, as in the movie Network, wasn't it? I forget who played. Oh, it's a great piece of audio. I'm going to hunt for it during the break, where he talks about how the oil is all hooked into this, and you have petrodollars, and you have they didn't have euro dollars yen then. Yen. Not yen, anyway. So, All right, let's say hi to John on Wins in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Hello.
John. Hey there.
The number for Philip Berg is Obama'sCrimes.com. It shows the whole lawsuit against him. It seems that Obama's mother left Hawaii.
Are you talking about the birth certificate issue?
The Philip Berg lawsuit. He's a Democrat. He's a.
I'm gonna have a beer, just like you.
He's a, what are you talking about?
I don't know. You tell me.
There is a lawsuit. Look it up on the internet. Uh-huh. They're going to before a federal judge. They're supposed to depose Obama and the chairman of the Democratic Party this week.
Well, I'm looking at a copy of his birth certificate. Granted, it is a copy of
his
birth certificate.
It's a fraudulent one.
Well, do you know that for sure?
That's what Mr. Berg did with a forensic outfit.
Well, that's what he says, but the...
Well, if you look on Obama.crimes, you'll see the suit, sir.
Well, I'm looking on fightthesmears.com, which has a scan of his official birth certificate.
Well, now, he submitted one that was phony, and the other one is an overlay of his
He admitted it was phony?
Half-sister.
His
that's
half-sister.
That's what they say in the suit. If you look at it under Obama.crimes.
Well, it must be true, Obama.crime. I want to get that suffix from my
federal
URL.
Judge
Go Harrison.crime. Well, listen, I'm going to let you get back to it because I don't want to impede your opportunity to perk it up a little bit, if you know what I mean. 800-989-1480. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to be supportive. Let's say hi to Kurt on Sirius Satellite in Windsor, Ontario. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm swell.
That's great. A couple of things. The first thing, you know, I'm sure you've seen on the internet the video of Sarah Palin, you know, having the demons sworn out of her, or the witchcraft or whatever.
Oh, yeah. May I pleasure you with that piece of audio now that you bring it up?
Sure. Go ahead.
That would be, let's see, cut. Let's see. This would be cut 3, and here on cut 3, what's that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's an internal conversation. I'm sorry there, Kurt. I was talking back to Phoenix via satellite. We said we were not doing cut 3 because it no longer exists. I deleted it earlier. So instead, we're going to do cut 4, and in this one, Palin talks about how the Iraq war, or occupation, as those who know what's actually going on, she says it is orders from God, something that does, in fact, mirror something that His Excellency George W. Bush also declares. Enjoy this and feel shriven.
Pray for our military, striving to do what is right also for this country, that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that as well.
But, I mean, did you know that, like, deep? Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I knew of it. How's that?
Heathen.
Okay. You know, how deep is, you know. But my question would be to Sarah Palin, and I would only have one question, mm-hmm. would be, if you are elected and suddenly you become possessed by witchcraftery or demons or whatever.
Yeah, I'm taking you absolutely seriously. I know you are too.
Would we have to send in an exorcist to clean the demons out of her soul?
The answer is no. Do you want to know why?
No.
I mean, you mean no?
Oh, yeah,
as in
I'd
yes?
like to know why, but yeah.
Well, because exorcisms are done by Catholics.
Okay.
Right? And she is not, well, I guess she's allegedly born Catholic or something, but this church that she's involved in is a wonderful Protestant organ, if you will. And I'm going to, and in this, she not only exorcises demons, but their church is founded on the fact that you, my friend, you are filled with demons too. Now, we can trace this thinking back. It is called the Third Wave Church and things like that. There was a guy named Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, a name you've heard before. He's the guy who invented the cornflake or the bran flake and had that wonderful place up in Michigan, the Battle Creek Sanitarium, in which he believed that all humans were possessed by demons too, and seven enemas per day would cure you of this befouling demonic possession. And so he created the largest enema institution in the late – well, let's hear a little of the Palin stuff to paint the picture.
God establishes this church for this one purpose, to make an announcement to the demonic strongholds in that place that Jesus is in town, to inherit the promise that God has for us and for them. He says this, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally.
Yeah.
Make no treaty with them.
Of course.
Show no mercy.
Uh-uh.
I think that's what we've been doing. Do
yeah,
not intermarry with them.
Oh.
Do not give your daughters to their sons or take your daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. These nations, break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, and burn their idols in fire.
Of
for
course.
You are a people holy to the Lord.
Well, there you have it in a nutshell. 800-989-1480. Harrison with you in for Mike Malloy. Hang on. Hussein, Obama, and John McCain, who looks like us. Ah! 6 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm in our Nova M Hollywood studios. I can even see the Hollywood sign tonight. Yep, the wind shifted. I can see 40 feet. Woohoo! The air is clean today, just the way it always is. Well, I have to admit some savagery that I did over the weekend. I have to admit this. I have to come clean on it. I was naughty. Naughty. And I'll tell you why. Not that. That I wouldn't. I don't need to admit that. Everyone knows about that. This was about my stepfather, who's 92. Great old guy. Wonderful. You know, we all went to Europe this summer and, you know, ate ice cream and took naps. He's 92. What should we do? Naps. I got lots of naps. Great guy, right? But he's voting for McCain. And so we're on the phone, and he's saying, you know, I know you're going for that Obama, aren't you? I said, well, you know, I'm an independent. And unlike you, you have depends. I'm independent. I didn't say that, but I thought it quietly on the phone, of course. And he said, well, yeah, you're going to do this. But, you know, I have to go for McCain. I can't, that guy is just, you know. So I, of course, asked, well, what exactly, just name one, just one thing that really troubles you about him. Dead air. You know what it is. It's that. But he's not going to say it because he's really quite civilized in many ways. But he's 92, so he doesn't seem to have divorced himself yet from his bad Windows 95 programming while the rest of us are on a Mac. So meanwhile, he said, so you're going to go for this Obama guy. I said, well, you're going for McCain. I said, why would you choose to do that? And let me just throw this out, by the way. My twin sister is a, my twister, that's twin sister, is a lipstick lesbian. I know. You want to watch. And I am her brother, her twin, which means perhaps I'm equally enchanted too, which, by the way, is the universe's gift to Republican parents. Not one, but two gay children. And have a nice day. Slam. So, you know, I said, you know, this guy, you know, hates Elizabeth. He hates me. So does Sarah Palin. If you watch the debate, no room for, or she's tolerant, of course. Oh, I'm tolerant of everything except for these 73 other issues. Biden wasn't much better, but at least he's got a pretty okay record on these things. And I said, so you're going to vote for a guy who hates your children and will do everything in their power to ultimately disenfranchise them, the way their party has ultimately disenfranchised all people of color. Whatever they're trying to vote, you know, going into city after city after city, whether they're caging votes, whether they're sending the sheriff's department out as they do in Charlotte County, Florida, and tell the voters, oh, it's next Tuesday is the election day. Go home. Don't bother us no more, et cetera, et cetera. You have a choice to vote for this guy, and you would choose to vote for that. And so I started yelling at him. And yelling at a 92-year-old is kind of fruitless. Huh? Huh? But he could tell I was upset anyway. Every fourth word or so, I think he got like, so he got kind of the impression there. And I felt pretty bad afterwards. But you know what? I am so fed up. I am so fed up with people sort of witlessly being part of a greater problem. And once again, when we're endlessly treating the symptom and never going to the source, it never gets better. And I'm going to give you an example. My people, we have this thing called Proposition 8 in California. And as you know, for the first time in human history, the state of California recognizes gay people as actually being human. And you're saying, what? That's ridiculous. I thought, no, actually, it was never that way before. Whatever in the Constitution now, or certainly by the Supreme Court, it says that whatever a straight straight person can do, so then can a gay person. Therefore, they can get married. They can do whatever. That's all it is. It's pure parity. I-T-Y, that is. Pure parody for the first time. And it's truly extraordinary. Yeah, people may be able to get married in Spain and such, but they're not equals. They can just get married. In California, you're equal the way a black man is equal, the way a Jewish person is equal, the way an Italian is equal, and so are gay people equal. Extraordinary. The fifth or sixth largest economy on earth, maybe not today, but at least a couple of weeks ago, was able to, at the highest level, make that decision. And so Proposition 8 takes that away. It takes it away. It says you can't get married. And while you're at it, you can't do this and this and this. And it diminishes the impact of the Supreme. And these were Republicans, by the way, Republicans in the California Supreme Court. So here's my problem with my fellow gay folks is they're so busy running around about Proposition 8 and blowing off the larger election. Because if you get a third Bush term vis-a-vis McCain and Palin, it's a moot point. All of it is a moot point. The EPA, so don't have any more money for that. 11 times more perchlorate in the water? How about all perchlorate all the time? Get rid of EPA, which, as you know, remarkably was founded by Dickie Nixon, right? Imagine if Nixon today went before Congress and the Senate. I got this idea. How about the Environmental Protection Agency? And we're not going to let companies flush their toilets into the drinking water. You liberal! Get out of here! Right? That's what they'd say. Or how about OSHA? Somebody could have their finger cut off. Well, that serves them right. They're lazy. This is what they'd get today. He'd be laughed away as a communist, which is how they pronounce it. Communist. Right? And so when a group of people get so focused on a tiny little issue, a symptom of the larger cancer, and allows it to metastasize without going to the source, it becomes a moot point. If we have a third Bush term, nothing will matter. You can fight for flag burning or against it. You can fight bra burning or against it. You know, rhubarb pie or whatever. it won't matter. You have a third Bush term, and now that the U.S. economy has been bankrupt, now that the Bush administration has taken the silver and the China from the White House, they have found a way to take $900 billion, take it up to a trillion, when you add in Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, and everything else, found a way to cycle it up to their buddy, Henry Paulson, formerly of Goldman Sachs, and his new chums. Oh, did I happen to mention the private contracting firms? They're going to act as accountants now to help in the disbursement of money. A month, or let's say technically 29 days before they leave, they've been handed in cash $900 billion. Talk about looting the joint and running. I saw a great T-shirt on Cafe Press. It was a picture of Bush holding two money bags, you know, like Scrooge McDuck, the classic money bags, you know, dollar bills coming out of the top like budding roses. And it's a picture of Bush, and then the caption below says, "So long, suckers." And this is precisely the reality of it. You get a third Bush term through McCain and Palin, you will have no money left. None. You will have to privatize, finally, Social Security. You will have to privatize, finally, everything. So if you want drinking water, if you want air, if you want whatever, you will pay. Things like things that are perfectly normal, street lamps, if you want that, you'll pay your street lamp fee, et cetera, et cetera. Right now it's done through taxes. But we pool our money because we still, as of today, have a civil society. But that already is on the way out. Now more than ever, ooh, I quoted Nixon, now more than ever, we must have daily vigilance. Now more than ever, we must suit up and show up and remind our servants, those whom we have hired to execute our orders as their employers, the government works for the people, not the other way around. When the people are afraid of the government, it's called tyranny. When the government is afraid of the people, it's called liberty. Thomas Jefferson while playing his fiddle. Super simple stuff. So anyway, I yelled at the 92-year-old, and here's what he said to me. It was kind of extraordinary. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I really appreciate your commentary." That's what he called it. My ranting, my shrieking, my foam coming out. But he said, "I really appreciate that." And it seemed for the first time, like this was the first time he'd ever gotten this kind of information. And then I realized, of course, he's being a good citizen. He does what he's told. He watches CNN, the most trusted name in news. So he's an expert on nipple rings. He reads the local paper, the Naples Daily News. So he learns about mosquito control, etc., etc. Of course he doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about. Of course it never occurred to him to imagine things in that kind of framework. Because he lives in a tiny little info-limited world, which you who listen to Mike, don't. So how do we connect with them? How do we talk to them is the question. 800-989-1480, Harrison in for Mike Malloy.
Money for nothing.
Past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Mike's on holiday. Back tomorrow. Our number's here, 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. If you're interested, you can check out my little one-step, one-sheet to martial law. And this on the tail of Congressman Brad Sherman having announced on C-SPAN that part of the reason many of the politicians, many of the congresspeople in any event, jumped on this thing suddenly a couple of nights ago, not the original time. We were supposed to have 2-3 weeks for them to actually percolate on the possibilities, but in fact, suddenly this thing came about as red alert, emergency. They were threatened with martial law. As you know probably by now, as of October 1st, a few days ago, U.S. troops for the first time ever have been deployed on U.S. soil in a one-year exercise. It's only an exercise. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. With guns and access to tanks, if they should need them, for, among other things, crowd control and civil unrest. Also for, you know, nuclear bombs going off, biological warfare, headaches, whatever the horrifying occasion might be, according to the people on top. And this is all under Northern Command. Northern Command, as you know, an invention of Dick Cheney himself back in 2001. And it basically trumps even Homeland Security. It is sort of private military service that has, as of 3 years ago, 30,000 non-uniformed guys walking around, sitting in on church groups, AA meetings, wherever you might go and tell the truth about who you are, how you think, how you look at the world, and how you feel. All of that, of course, being monitored in the name of national security. This being one easy way to get around TIA, which does not stand for Tampa International Airport. No, total information awareness. If you remember Mr. Negroponte having put that thing together using the great eyeball on top of the dollar bill and big ears, a real Orwellian orgasm, and that thing was decided it was double plus ungood, quoting Orwell, so they made it go bye-bye officially. So meanwhile, you've got all these troops, as of 3 years ago, 30,000, probably by now 30,007. Or 37,000 or more. Who knows? Who can know? But we now know officially troops are on U.S. soil. You might want to check out the story yourself. You can easily probably Google Army Times, U.S. Army Times. It was covered originally by a military newspaper, much as you can always find out what's really going on in the U.S. by reading the Wall Street Journal, because they report the most horrible stuff as business, as opposed to reporting it as news that you should be worried about. No, it's business. Same thing with The Economist out of London, another great source for business to find out the truth. So check that out and understand what's going on. Meanwhile, you can go to my website, goharrison.com, and you will find a one sheet on all the different executive decisions, from the John Warner Act to Executive Decision 51. Trust me, that is among the worst ever coordinated. It makes Julius Caesar look like, my train of thought just totally derailed. Who was that woman who used to cook? Julia Child. Yes, exactly. Not a good analogy, but yeah, we have whatever, right? So, but check out, and so you can know legally what's on tap. What's all the different decisions that have been made, ratified independently, plus all the signing statements. It's all listed there in totally easy conversational language, so you can stand at the water cooler and really tell people what's going on. And it all leads up to the gift, the might and majesty and nonfiction that we're now enjoying today. We had over the weekend here in Los Angeles, I'm in our Nova M Hollywood studios, a guy taking his life and six other family members. So the sort of 1929 era start commit suicide with the meltdowns has begun. We may be seeing more of these stories. So we're going to be talking with Cynthia McKinney next hour. She, of course, is running for president on the Green Party ticket and is completely missing from all the debates. Is she pissed? You better believe it, because there is no real explanation why she's running for president. She's not being interviewed. She's not allowed to ask questions or have questions asked of her. Equally, a conversation with Roseanne Barr, who is so on fire. I mean, she's like a 50,000-watt blowtorch. She's gone out of her mind in all the right ways and is saying it like she actually sees it. So she's got a little intimate chinwag for you with Roseanne about what she's going through, of course, being a real Hollywood insider and having some pretty significant access to a lot of politicians as well. I want to introduce you quickly to an actress whom I mentioned a little bit earlier. Her name is Mercy Malick. Mercy's been on a lot of different shows, whether it's CSI, whether it's movies, this or that. And she put together a Sarah Palin YouTube video, or a bunch of them, and they went viral. And one of the things that I talked about a couple of hours ago is what happens when an actor really studies a character. And we'll get to Mercy in just a second. I just wanted to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
And find out what you've actually learned about Sarah Palin's character, calendar, that she's a stripper. Really, just give her pole and music. Seriously. Put her in her natural habitat. That winking and stuff. Now, I get it. A lot of my friends were like, yeah, I liked it, but I don't want her in the White House. I mean, I really want to be breastfed by her after watching her during that debate.
That would be preferable.
That's a stretch, let me tell you. But
so to speak.
Oh, my. 800-989-1480. Harrison in for Mike Malloy. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. I am, of course, in our Nova M Hollywood studios at 800-989-1480. Taking a look at the roller coaster ride of raunchiness that is today's world and news, and also examining how we can sort of better connect with each other, and as the 29 days tick down to the next election, or C-election, if we're particularly unlucky, how we can connect with people who don't seem to have the information or never thought about it that way, or just thought about it at all. Because as you know, at least this is the way I look at it, which doesn't make it right, but it just makes it the way I look at it. There's an equation that I like to use, which is the Republicans or neoconservatives or many conservatives use is E over I, emotion over intellect. And you and I, and when we're in our best moments, use I over E, intellect over emotion. In other words, we use the neocortical part of the brain as opposed to the limbic or reptilian part of the brain, which is eat, sleep, poop, make love. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, but that cannot be the primary driving force. So I over E, intellect over emotion, they use E over I. It's always about how you feel when you were watching the debates between Palin and, between McCain and Obama. You'll notice if you were watching on CBS, and most people watched it on MSNBC or CNN or C-SPAN or wherever. I watched it on CBS because I was curious to see what that network would do in their storytelling. And it was really brilliant. And they did it again on the vice presidential debate. And here's what they did. They did a split screen, which doesn't mean it's a two-shot. Simply a wide shot with two people in it. They zoom in on each person and then put a line down the middle. So you basically have a close-up with a line down the middle. It's called a split screen. And whenever McCain would talk, it suddenly went full screen. And especially if it's high definition. Now you got a nice wide, it's Panavision, baby. And McCain would tell stories. Remember, whenever he's asked a question, he would answer with, "Back in 1982, Ronald Reagan and I grilled a steak together, and it was one of the finest steaks I've ever eaten. Why, the grill stripes went north to south. Americans are known for grilling some of the finest steaks in the world, and I have the full confidence in the American steak griller. We're among the best." What? Maybe. Ronald Reagan and I ate a jelly bean one time and goosed each... You know what I mean? Storytelling. And then whenever Obama was on, he had to share the screen with McCain. So you got to watch McCain reacting. This is CBS. You watch McCain reacting, making faces, staring down, rolling eyes. And you see a little black man in the box waving his arms around. And then you go back to McCain, whoosh, full screen, telling more stories about back when I knew Napoleon... He had crabs, pediculosis pubis, and I had at that time stock in the Quell Corporate, whatever it was. And this is the way they do it. So when you're a regular person who's not in the media, as many of us are, and many of us aren't, but you listening right now, you're savvy. because you have been paying attention. You have been participating. You know what I'm talking about. You're savvy. You see this stuff and you say, wait a minute. It's not just subliminal. It's an extraordinary published statement. It is the adult supervision, if you will, at the network level, telling you what's important and what's not. Who needs a pundit or a commentator when a picture says 1,000 words? Obama is on the right side, little tiny box, little guy standing there, and then on the left side is Gramps with life experience and challenges that he's met, and a war hero forever. Right? And so that's the art of the storytelling. Very, very important. And this is important to watch because this is how people receive the information. And we wonder, well, how does this keep changing? Like Obama was answering questions, but, you know, he was being statistical. You know, 2% and 9% amortized over 40 years. And that's all wonderful stuff. But that's the equation of intellect over emotion. He's trying to talk to the people for whom E over I is important, emotion over intellect. That's why John McCain, stupid as it is connecting. That's how Sarah Palin, I'm not going to say brilliantly, but it is. There's a certain genius. You put a stripper on TV. Who doesn't want to drink beer and watch that? I do. And I'm not even wired for that. But there's a certain genius in it saying, you know, golly gosh, shucks, gee whiz, you know, hee, hoo. Now it's like Mickey Mouse, right? Or Jiminy Cricket. Hey there, hi there. Right. But it's supposed to sound like real language. It's simulated 1950s, back in the old days, when women wore their pearls and high heels while vacuuming, right? The good old days, when my dinner was on the table at 6:01, and if it was on at 6:02, I used to beat her. And if I didn't know why I was beating her, she knew why I was beating her, right? Yee, the good old days. So this is the genius of their E over I. It's always about how we feel. And who doesn't feel good having Gramps telling happy stories of sitting with Ronald Reagan, you know, eating a steak or whatever it is? And that's really efficient. And this is where we've had a bit of a flat tire. I consider myself a progressive, whatever that is, right? You know, progress rather than regress. And when we talk to other people, we tend to like real information, as factual as we are able to assess it. And yeah, we make mistakes. Yeah, it could be better researched. Yeah, it's just real life, right? It's organic. Chaos theory figures in. You do the best you can with what you got that day. But we're actually interested in what's really real, what's the truth, and what is fair play. And they're interested in storytelling. Meanwhile, it's the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You're busy talking about abortions and gay people trying to get married. For God's sake, it's terrible. And meanwhile, over here, you're going to loot the treasury. You're going to send jobs overseas, whatever. And people have no clue. Somehow it's true. No clue that the same storytellers are telling huge stories behind their backs, and they're simply not paying attention to the stories that are being told. You are, though. You are. This is why it's so infuriating. So coming up in about 15 minutes, you're going to hear from Roseanne Barr, who is like out, and in the front now, along with a lot of other people, mad as hell, not going to take it anymore. A super candid conversation. Let's go to Bob in Tennessee, and you're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Good evening, Harrison.
Good evening.
Earlier in your program, you mentioned something about McCain getting so much campaign contributions from all these banks and investment institutions.
Right, along with Obama, too.
Right, I was going to say, I mean, it sounded to me, and I inferred, whether you implied it or not, that you were saying that McCain had taken substantially more money. And when I went to OpenSecrets.org,
yes.
Which is where I got the information from.
Yes, that's what I'm on right now.
Although Obama only had 6 that I could count contributors,
mm-hmm.
and McCain had 13,
yeah.
Obama ended up getting about, 2.8 million, and McCain 2.4 million. And like Goldman Sachs, you look at McCain getting 220,000, and they gave Obama $740,000.
Right, and this creates the issue that we were talking about earlier, is why both of these guys went for this thing.
And that's why I'm a liberal.
Yeah.
Because neither party knows how to be a fiscal conservative, so I may as well get the social stuff that I want. Yeah.
Well, good luck, right? I mean, when you think about it, more Democrats voted for this than Republicans. It is completely inverted at this point. It almost makes no sense. So it's really like the Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and sadly Barney Frank bill. And it's confusing. It's counterintuitive.
I read an article online about the derivatives market, how these mortgages were being insured, and the insurance on these mortgages was getting sold over and over and over again at higher prices, where the brokers who were selling them were making millions of dollars in commissions. No wonder the whole thing spiraled out of control.
Well, you know, sooner or later, it cannot sustain. Sooner or later.
Hire somebody on commission, and they're going to put the screws to your customer. Pay them an hourly plus a bonus.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And now you've got Henry Paulson, formerly of Goldman Sachs, who's now surrounded himself with contracted ex-Goldman Sachs executives and contracted, so these are independent with no oversight, accountants for the disbursement of all these new funds, and you don't get to know what it's for.
And
they get commissions. So that means that they're incentivized to bill out more hours and pay themselves whatever the appropriate fee is for all this bloody hard work. My God, have you ever tried adding up billions of dollars?
And
you just
wake
up till 3 in the morning.
They think they can get away with it.
Well, you got it. So how do we... how do we find a way to be able to monitor this? How do we police the police who are self-policing using a Blackwater mechanism? Remember, these are independent contractors like Halliburton types now handling the, you know, $700 billion plus.
If you're getting tax money, your books need to be treated just like you were a nonprofit organization. They need to be open.
And as a bailout person, as a taxpayer, obviously you need to be looking at this as an investment with some kind of return. Not like, for instance, when you hand a broadcasting license to, CBS, who did that wonderful miracle with John McCain getting full screen and Obama getting half, where they are leased or given basically a broadcast license, and they give nothing back to the public. In the old days,
Fox News is Hannity's America.
Well, that's right. In the 1930s and beyond, the idea was you had to give back to the public your free ability to make $1 billion in revenue. So what you did is you gave current events, also known as news. You gave public affairs. You talked about when the church bake sale was on. It was about empowering the public. And they also said that no foreign owners could own radio stations, because, as you know, Henry Ford was running for president in the late 20s and had a relationship with one Adolf Hitler, who, by the way, Henry Ford has mentioned in Mein Kampf as one of his buddies, Henry Ford giving Hitler $39,000 a year as a birthday present. Henry Ford was told by Hitler, I'm going to help you buy up all the radio stations in the United States of America so that you can become president. And as you know, Henry Ford wrote that wonderful book called, I think it was called The International Jew, The Great Conspiracy, or some hideous anti-Semitic thing. So Hitler tried to buy radio stations. Hence, they said no foreign ownership. Then in the mid-90s, or very early 90s, rather, you have Newt Gingrich and others giving Rupert Murdoch Fox. Why? Because he's going to offer something new. Really, I swear, it won't be like the other networks. Really, I promise, it won't. Okay, have a nice day. And now is born the beautiful gift that keeps on giving, known as the Contract on for America. I thank you for your call, my friend, and take care. 800-989-1480, 800-989-14, Harry Harrison for Mike Malloy. Minutes past the hour. Harrison here, having an orgy of oral ecstasy. I guess that's what talk radio is. At least it is to me, at least today. Here on our Nova M Hollywood studios in on the border of West Hollywood and Hollywood. There really is a place like that, and I'm there right now. Our number is 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. If you want to check out that one sheet, easy to print, total water cooler, very conversational thing of all the steps leading up to martial law. As you know, you heard earlier, troops have been dispatched. We don't know exactly what cities yet, but the main article appears now on the Army Times, so it's the official military publication. You can Google Army Times, Google Northcom, Google Troops, Google anything you want. It's going to come up, that's for sure. I was speaking a minute, or rather more than a minute, more like 50 minutes and 2 seconds with Mercy Malik, who's sitting here. And one of the things you've done, Mercy, is you've created a Sarah Palin character because, as we know, we were talking a little bit about I over E, E over I, intellect over emotion, emotion over intellect, that the way to connect with people is you've got to go for the emotional side. I mean, if I were to do a YouTube video, which, by the way, I think I will at the end of the show, just because I'm feeling kind of wound up here, and just really pointed out the facts and percentages and maybe scrolled all kinds of numbers and data, is that going to affect Mildred and Horace? I don't think so. I do a daily feature called Think Green that's around the country right now, and one of the things I do is I use different movie stars in it, because the only way to get anybody who believes swinging Dick Cheney that it's a myth, global warming's a myth, the polar ice caps are melting themselves by choice, it has nothing, right? So the way to get them is you get one of their favorite movie stars to say, you know, I screw in one of these little curly Q light bulbs and my electric bill's gone down $20. Well, geez, I'll bet if I'd, you know what I mean? And it works. So at the end of the day, they save money, we win. We get 2 more years alive. So we all win. And this is a simple technique. It's storytelling and using the right storytellers. You realize that by teaching conservatives or people, shall we say, underinformed to a certain degree about Sarah Palin, that you would have to use satire, lampoonery, which is not a naughty word.
Not yet.
It's not yet, but it will be soon.
It may be.
Now, when you were studying your Sarah Palin character, trying to become the Sarah Palin so deeply trapped inside.
So closeted.
Did you, like, go to a bar and strip and do a pole dance? Or, I mean, what did you have to do?
But not for that purpose.
I understand.
Right.
You are in Hollywood, and, you know, you got to do what you got to do for your career.
I'm both proud and embarrassed to admit that it came about in a matter of hours. My roommate and I had watched her phenomenal acceptance speech on that Wednesday, on that fateful Wednesday, and both of us were viscerally moved in a very negative way. And
my viscera is still moving.
It's moving, and we were motivated because of that. I think that, you know, quelling nausea is a good reason to stand up for your country.
Well, you know, it's one of the things, you know, when you studied Shakespeare or whatever in eighth grade or whatever this thing was that we were all forced to have to really study, we ended up learning a lot about the nature of the author. You can't help soaking like Madge in the Palmolive. Sooner or later, you get to understand either Palmolive or Madge or both if you're lucky. And the same thing when you're having that kind of intimacy with Sarah Palin, watching her quirks, her winks, her whatevers. What do you think is the deal with her? Is she real, or is it really a charade?
Well, the thing that's so disturbing to me is that she's an end timeser. So she does believe that Jesus is coming within her lifetime. And that alone puts her in a very particular type of headspace, that sort of complete infallibility and knowing that whatever comes out of her mouth is going to be the right thing because she knows what's right to do. And that's the thing that terrifies me most. I mean, that's the woman who could quite likely have her finger on the button.
Well, if you think about it, if McCain were to have a medical mishap of some sort, and she were to inherit untold powers, remember, the executive branch in the last 8 years has become equivalent to what Putin has, let's say. I mean, it was never envisioned by the founding fathers. And there she would be, you know, maybe in a bad mood or a good mood, and a red button blinking. You got, what, 12,500 multi-tip thermonuclear warheads. And you got a Kool-Aid and maybe some crack. And you're not, you know what I mean? I mean, really, Where's the adult supervision anywhere anymore? Wow.
More governmental.
We're going to stick some links for your videos on GoHarrison.com on the video page.
That's great.
And how many did you do?
We have a series of three, and I also did one with the marvelous Fine Brothers, Benny and Raffi, which is at RavenSteak.com.
Well, we'll do some more with you. Thank you, Mercy Malik.
And
you rule. Harrison with you, 800-989-1480. Roseanne Barr coming up next on The Mike Malloy Show. We're dancers, or we're human, or we're human dancers. 7 minutes past the hour, Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Mike's out on vacation, back tomorrow. And I have been having such a good time, such a huge fan of Mike. And you know, it's interesting, in the last number of years, everything he's been saying, every single piece of it comes true. So if you really want a prognosticator of what unfortunately is turning out to be pandemic whoopee, he's a guy whose word, whose insight, whose observations are always, always dead on. Let's say hi to Geraldine on KPHX in Phoenix. You're on the... Geraldine?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Harrison here on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Harrison.
Hi.
Welcome back to Phoenix.
Thank you. It's a dry heat.
Oh, yeah, it
yes.
is.
Yes.
It's about 88 or something today, and was absolutely delicious.
Well,
it was a wonderful
eat
day.
Up. What's cooking, honey?
Well, Phoenix is cooking, but I just really wanted to say hi, and my thing about Palin is that she never says anything. She never directly answered the question in the thing, and you are so right on about her. And the E over I, that's an amazing concept. I've been talking about the three knees. You know, you either think about with your head or you think about it with your third knee. And what you're saying makes it even more sense. It's not quite so base, I guess.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm not base. I think you'd really be off base there, honey. But what's interesting here and very important to note is – always look at the source. We're trained, particularly by the corporate media, to always look at the symptom. Chase the symptom around and around and around. Meanwhile, the source metastasizes. It grows new arms and legs. It repositions itself. It moves around. But we're still focused on the symptom. There it is in the corner. And so we all huddle in the corner like bees stinging the symptom.
I think you're being really nice.
I think it's
even worse. I think it's mind control and hypnotism over the television.
Well, it's interesting you say hypnotism because, as you know, in the United States, our TV screens are, I think it's 54 cycles a second.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly the frequency of hypnotism.
Right.
A hypnotist uses that cycle. In Europe, it's 56 cycles,
mm-hmm.
so there's no hypnotism. And with this, you become deliciously intertwined with your TV set. How else do you sit for 8 hours and your butt never hurts?
And also,
by God, do you want that car?
Everybody's on Prozac, which makes you even more a subject for hypnotism.
Well, it might.
It does. That's one of the side effects of the psychotropic drugs they're giving people today for depression. It also makes you a subject for hypnotism.
And then Paxil, you can just kiss your third knee goodbye, that's for sure. That takes it away. There's your saltpeter in a pill.
Yeah, so I think it's even, I don't know, my conspiracy theory thing. But anyway, I love you, and I'm so glad to hear you again. And welcome back to Phoenix anytime you come.
Thank you. Love Phoenix.
Yeah, we
love you. All right,
honey,
take care, and try not to sweat in your dry heat.
only when the humidity rises.
There you go. And we don't have any here either, thankfully. L.A. is a weird place in that you don't need screens on your windows. My windows are always wide open. If the worst-case scenario is what happened earlier today, which I'm told is a sign of good luck, a hummingbird flew in here and just was hovering, staring at me like a little bright green one. I'm told that's a good sign. It may have a lot to do with the fact that I have a hummingbird feeder on the window, but I'm not going to connect that, and I'm going to go with the good luck. Let's say hi quickly to Victor the Mike in Madison, Wisconsin. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi. Victor.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. Say, listen, I've been just listening to you and just want to tell you about a pain in everyone's hind part. Sarah Palin, you know, not doing Jesus things, but if you want to look at her story, she's certainly either Bathsheba or the Jezebel. That woman is proving, if you're in the government, if you're chained to that chain guy, and well, then pimping is easy because we just paid for so much and we got to pay for so much and we're already some. I understand it. I do my part. I get out there. I get in trouble even for other people's benefit. But you know, I wrote a haiku. People are sheeple. Query not their lot, they heard.
Don't call me a queer.
Company sleeps. We got to wake up, dude, because, you know, if you want to throw something else in there, yeah. 2012 is only 2 years away.
Basically. Oh, and you're talking about the end of the Mayan calendar?
The end of where whoever is supposed to hit the reset button just leave a few people here. Something like Will Smith in The Legend.
Which I just saw last night, by the way, on High Def and really enjoyed it. I've decided to keep it. It's a great movie. It's a really good movie. It's called I Am Legend, and it's about they come up with a cancer cure, and it turns out to be not the right choice. And so all of humanity, with the exception of a handful who are immune to this, are gone. And so it's what the world looks like with no people on it. Kind of like that National Geographic special where here's what Earth would look like after global warming and all the humans are dead and the plants start growing out of the Statue of Liberty. And it's kind of like that. But it's, you know, vampires and creepy and kind of like the White House, a little bit like that. I'm going to play you a conversation I had with Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr has really for quite a long time been an outspoken progressive. She's been a very close chum to everyone from Michael Moore to really any good, solid activist. She's always been a participant, really, at every peace rally we've had here in L.A., whatever she shows up. And I got together with her, connected to Cynthia McKinney, who's running for president on the Green Party, because Cynthia was complaining that somehow she's running for president of the United States legitimately on the rolls everywhere else and somehow is not invited to the debates. And isn't this just a little weird? Just a little weird. Well, it's weird if you're looking at it from outside of U.S. soil, but here it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense to us. Why? We don't want any of that muckraking going on. And so we got together and had a nice little chin wag with Roseanne about what she sees and how she's involved in all of this. And I think you'll really appreciate her viewpoint. This is part one with Roseanne Barr talking candidly to you about the bailout and everything else and what she's doing inside Hollywood with her particular muscle power.
There definitely have been lots of memos from the desk of Dick Cheney. You know, we just don't get to see his name written on it. And people only eat whatever food is given. And if the food is unnutritious right now, it's really bad.
You know, they're there for another agenda besides serving the people that elected them. And I think once the people get really, really get their minds wrapped around that, which I think they are, more billions of bailouts, which actually means no hospitals, no schools, no roads. They might get their mind around that thing about, wow, there are servants. You know, I mean, I've had servants. I've had maids and stuff like that. Talk about stealing you blind, your servants. That's when you got to fire them and get new ones.
Yeah. Well, if I can.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, anybody who's been waited on by a waitress, if she's going to come over there and, you know, spill your plate on you and then double charge you.
Well, it's like Dick Cheney getting, you know, shooting his friend in the face, the friend apologizing for being shot.
It is like that. They want to shoot us in the face and make us apologize, and not just apologize, but pay them for the privilege of shooting us in the face and pray for the gun and the bullets to do it, too. I mean, I think it's an age of psychopaths run rampant. But the blame belongs at the top. Every bit of it is Bush's fault and Cheney's fault. Every single thing.
Now, you as an artist see a lot. I mean, that's part of how you're hardwired. You see what's actually going on, and the rest of us may not. And you're seeing sort of the dynamic.
Well,
like,
I see it from the inside. Like, I think that, you know, basically you get blacklisted if you have anything to say. I mean, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. You can't really make it. You can't have a vocal presence in the media if you have anything to say that isn't party line, either party.
You know, it's interesting. Right now, in the newspapers all across Europe, Sarah Palin's on the front page, but not like it is here. Like, seriously, she said this. It's like, come on. A woman in a bikini holding a submachine gun. I mean, come on, really?
And I think it's like the next level of that cowboy thing that, you know, Reagan and Bush and Republicans, you know, always like to fake like they're cowboys. Like, and I'm from Utah, so I always go, I know real cowboys, and you, sir, are no cowboy. But, you know, she's the next level of that whole Wild West cowboy thing. You know, it went, you know, it's transgender. She's a transgender.
I was wondering.
Children, so she's obviously female somewhere, but I mean, she's like a drag. She's like a man. She has all male.
Well, we know better drag queens than that.
Well, yeah, they have some style. But I mean, she is like, there's just nothing feminist and nothing really female about her at all. At all. And that's what we get after all these years of everything that we've all done and, you know, to advance, like, women's equality. That's what they give us. And they got that sneer. Those people, they just can't sneer at us enough while they're stealing us blind. They just can't shoot us in the face and charge us fast enough. And then ask us to apologize to them for being shot in the face. I mean, they're hiding it right out in the open. It's just psychopathic.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of like a classic third world scenario.
It is.
You have the dictator, Saddam Hussein, come in, take the loot from the entire country, build himself palaces, and then leave. Of course, he left a little different than he had planned. But it's the same thing. About a month before Bush and Cheney leave, they take $1 trillion and split. And the bill even says no oversight, and that they don't have to give it back.
But the thing that's so amazing about that is, yeah, they are, you know, they're so, okay, so they're crazy and sociopathic and sadistic and every other thing. I mean, that's obvious, what they've done to the Iraqi people who did nothing to us. But, you know, what about the Democrats? I mean, are they supposed to be the opposition party, and yet they just capitulate? It's so like, I can't remember the names anymore because I'm old and I can't remember the names, but it's just so Nazi Germany, so pre-war Germany, the capitulation to, you know, to this terrible, terrible thing that whose intent is the destruction of everything that all of us have wanted and believed and stood by our whole lives, of things, our values, the destruction of our values and our country.
That's Roseanne Barr. We're going to be hearing just the end of that a couple of more minutes. Coming up after our little pause here, what's going on, particularly here in Hollywood and L.A.? You know, we've always felt very vocal about things, and now people are really coming out of the woodwork because it is ground zero. It is at that place where no longer do we have the luxury to sit back and watch. This is, as Biden said, going to be the most important election ever. This is all or nothing. It is either a third Bush term or it is the termination of the Bush. When in doubt, scrub it out. That's what I say. 800-989-1480.
could it be? I just can't imagine who. Could it be?
Sarah Palin?
24 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios. 800-989-1480. Our number's here, 800-989-1480. And, of course, if you want to visit me anytime, you can always do that by going to GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. And I will write you back personally. I stupidly agreed to do that some years ago, and I still pay. I still pay. But you know what? It's reasonable. It is so reasonable to have real relationships with everybody, isn't it? Everybody you get to meet in the world. It's a good deal. I vote yes. Also, you can, in the blog section, find that one-sheeter on all the steps up to martial law, the different executive orders, different congressional agreements, going from the John Warner Act to the Patriot Act to any of the executive orders, particularly my least favorite, number 51. And now, of course, as you know, as of October 1st, according to the Army Times, the official military newspaper, U.S. troops are being, for the first time, deployed on streets with access to tanks and guns if they need them, but definitely with non-lethal weaponry to handle crowd control and civil unrest. It's only an exercise that lasts only a year, so not to worry. Let's say hi to Joe in San Francisco. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Hey, this is Joe. How you doing, Harrison?
I'm groovy, my friend.
Hey, man, this is the first time I've heard you. I think you rock. I'm in San Francisco, and, you know, the vote for Barack is assured, and I'm going to vote for him. But here's my thing. Both he and Joe Biden have come out strongly for things that are anti-progressive, such as nuclear power, talking tough and acting tough with Iran, you know, a number of things, and I just see him doing the Democratic two-step back toward the center, hoping to get more votes. And what do you think of the chances of those guys actually making good on any of those horrible things, all of which I'm totally against?
Well, you know, I'm with you, and I have to be straight out about it. Watching some weeks ago, saber rattling and all kinds of what I consider controversial language about getting tough on this and that and making stuff up and a sudden move to the right to placate what they feel are the independents, the people in the center, whatever the center is. There is no center. Everything is right and a little less right at this point. Remember we talked about Nixon earlier? If he went in today and offered creating an EPA, he'd be laughed out as a liberal. So everything is to the right. Well, I'm out of time. How's that for escaping answering the question?
Can you even look me in the eye and tell me why? God and love, would you change?
Relaxing, would easy chance. Here on the Mike Malloy Show, 34 minutes past the hour, Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios, taking a look at the roller coaster ride of raunchy raucousness that is today's news, indeed. And, you know, it's just as disrelishing as it could be, but I'll tell you what. Having a connection here with, you know, millions of like-minded people who are wide awake and care makes a world of difference. There's something to be said about resonance, something to be said that you're not crazy. What you see, what you hear when you see the emperor has no clothes, yes, he's nude. It's true. And this is a place where you get to find out that you're not absolutely nuts. Going to play you the end of the Roseanne Barr interview, where she got very candid, as you can tell. As you know, she and many, many, many others out here are getting right out there now. No longer do we have time to sit around and sort of mull about the state of affairs. This is it, baby. It's either a third Bush term or it ain't. And one of the things that we did here in L.A. about a year and a half ago is I put together a parade for world peace along with my extraordinary producer at the time, Linda Blake, who works with Tavis Smiley right now. And what we did is we got 10,000 listeners to show up and front-loaded it with movie stars and marched for world peace along with the surviving grandson of Mahatma Gandhi. So you had him and me and movie stars, and we terminated the thing at the steps of CNN. Why? Because knowing without movie stars, CNN is not going to come downstairs. For who? Gandhi's grandson still alive? Who? Ha! Unless he'd had a nipple ring put in that day. Then they would have been down there along with all the other networks. So instead you bring the movie stars and hopefully they can gossip or do something. And Gandhi got all of 3.5 seconds airtime. Isn't that extraordinary? I was so proud of the networks, why they put themselves out that day. Point being that all of those different stars, all those different celebs that showed up, they were there for world peace. They were there on board, and now we've created an extraordinary network of people out here in L.A. We even were able to record a personal message from Kofi Annan, who, as you know, was the United Nations Secretary General at the time, a special one just for the audience, and started around the world this simultaneous world peace thing that is going on in different countries now. So we have some cool plans, and all of that is easy and fun, sort of effortless activism, if you will, to coin a phrase. So I want to play you this last couple of minutes of Roseanne Barr, and here she's talking about something that we have here in California and other places called Log Cabin Republicans, too. And these are gay people who are Republicans. And she's not a fan of that either, but it speaks to the kinds of people who join the wrong organizations based on a misguided self-interest rather than actually paying attention. So here it is, part two of Roseanne.
I mean, I can't believe these Democratic senators and what the hell's the matter with them? Do they have something on them? They must have like sex files on every one of them. I mean,
yeah, and we know a kind too.
You know, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, get out of the business. If you're a pervert, don't run. I mean, seriously.
But what if you have a wide stance?
Oh, that guy. You know what's so vile about that and the whole log cabin Republican thing is to like go, you know, to exploit the hatred of your of everyone against you, and like that's the only job you can get in that government is to like hate yourself so bad that you actually help them promote hatred against everyone who's like you. You capitulate to that level of self-loathing and are rewarded for it. I mean, it's just like, it's doomsday. It's all over. I mean, seriously, it's all over. Sometimes I'm like, okay, to stop lying, you have to say it's over.
Much as you do very bravely, by the way, in your blogs and your ever-present awareness, you actually are able to distill for the average person what's going on.
I try to. I mean, I try to put it in, like, English, you know, because, like, I'm like, you know, seriously.
But Mr. Bush has internets. And so you're using them all.
Yeah, the internet. I mean, that guy, I mean, to call him an idiot like a lot of people do is a lie. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he does it with that sneer like they all do. He's a bad stand-up comic up there. Like, oh, they all do that sneering, bad Rodney Dangerfield impression. None of them are funny. But that's how they're getting away with it. They're not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. And it is like, where's the next pile of money? We couldn't get our hands on Social Security. So we're going in the back door and we're going to take it this way. We're not going to leave you with a dime. We're not going to leave you with a job or anything else. And most of all, we're not going to leave you with any army or any National Guard either. So good luck, citizens.
And we'll just privatize the rest because we can't afford to do it anymore.
Well, like Bush, they're all buying thousands and thousands of acres of land in Paraguay, where they don't want people to know that, but they plan to move out of here. This is not going to be a good place to live.
We'll be drinking perchlorate anyway.
It's like the dawn of the dead. It's like maybe this is a good opportunity where people actually will be forced to walk the walk and talk the talk. They won't have the choice anymore. It will be rational self-interest to help your neighbors and feed your neighbors and all the things that those of us, you know, who have beliefs and morals and, like, you know, compunction and a conscience think that that's, we all sit around and go, you know what, if only people would take care of themselves, or other people's children, their own community, school, the mother schooling children in a communal thing like our own schools. I mean, everything that we said in the 60s, all of us hippies, we were totally right about all of it, and we totally called it. And they demonized us, and they go, oh, those tree huggers and all this. But we were right, and we're still right. But now, maybe it's good, because now maybe women will move to the center of every community like I've, dreamed of forever. And, like, redefine what it means to be a mother, a sister, a wife, and part of a community. It's up to women. And I was like, and women are ripe for it and know just what to do. Now that all the money's gone, what the hell? You ain't got nothing to lose. It's like, it might be a really great time.
And I'm going to be in the lead canoe on that river of estrogen. You can better believe it. Yeah. Well, if I can. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Because it's been so gloomy the last couple of weeks.
I hate saying hope, because, like, I always say, I think there's a big difference between hope and faith. There's a big, big difference. Hope is like pie in the sky out of the Oprah Angel Network. That makes me mad. Don't even get me going on that. The angels are saving us. Well, nobody's going to save us, but if we have faith in each other, we don't need hope.
Yeah. Hotel Earth, and everyone gets a room.
Yeah, we have to take care of each other. We have to take care of our government, our community, everything, because nobody's going to do it for us.
And that's the bottom line, and it is so true. It is about suiting up and showing up, and then it will take care of itself. You and I are it. It is no dress rehearsal. Tag your it. Bottom line. 42 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show, 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. One of the amazing things we get to do is really try to explore our interconnectedness. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo and ooga-booga, but at the end of the day, this is it, you and me. And we know a lot now. We've seen a lot. We've been through a lot. And the obvious has been placed right in front of us, as tomorrow night during the so-called debates. Debates? Ask any high school debater what the hell that is. It is no debate. It is a photo op with a 90-second photograph with a live audio caption. That's what it is. So, McCain's storytelling. Back in 1987, Ronald Reagan and I sat down and massaged each other's frenulums. Whatever. It's storytelling. It's geezerdom. It has nothing to do with a debate. You know what I want to see? We've got a town hall tomorrow, right? This debate. Could you hear the swishing of my fingers making the quotation marks in the air? Whoosh, whoosh. Yeah, we've got this debate tomorrow night, this town hall. Let's see Brokaw say, okay, you guys got 1 hour. Go. And do a real debate where, yes, they call each other on each other's BS, where they ask direct questions, say, answer the question, answer the question. Or, as McCain today called Obama a liar, do it to his face. Do it to his face. And let's see what happens there. Are you the courageous person you claim you are? This I would like to see, also being a town hall thing. Let the citizenry ask real questions. You know, one has to wonder why, with all of our technology on CNN or anywhere, why we don't have international callers. Why is Larry King, Oklahoma, you're on, whatever he says, right? San Francisco, hello. I actually kind of... Why don't you have global phone calls coming in? You know why? The technology is absolutely there. Because you don't want coming in from the outside prickly, irritating, icky questions or comments like, hey, you know, you guys did this, or so-and-so said that, or we know from our newspapers here this and that is going on. Can you imagine all of this information flowing in to our closed circuit, nipple ring, headlined O.J. Simpson nonsense of a news cycle, having real facts and figures and honest questions flowing in by the river load? So it ain't gonna happen. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put together, I like this idea, the first ever fully global English language show, where we take calls from Isfahan to Egypt, from Key West to Alaska, from Brazil to Bombay. All of it, baby. When in doubt, check it out. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. 800-989-1480. Let's say hi to Dave in Chicago. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Who is this?
Chicago, hello.
Oh, Dave. Oh, okay. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, you had this, you bumped into that 92-year-old man you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
The 92-year-old man you
My stepfather.
At?
My stepfather.
Okay. You realize that you were acting in an authoritarian manner, so you were talking to an authoritarian follower. Are you hip to that?
I'm totally listening.
Okay, yes. You found the key. That's how you have to act with people. You can't use knowledge or reason or understanding. They don't follow that. They only follow when you're an authoritarian leader, when you act like that. Do you get that?
Oh, boy, do I. You know, it never occurred to me. You're right. It's interesting how progressives, liberals, whatever the hell we open-minded folks call ourselves, we do believe in, you know, this sort of Emersonian idea where you can think for yourself and that you can share your toys and that you can be trusted and all of that. And they are endlessly pining to have king again. They really would like to have a nice monarch. I mean, this is why they worship this incredible power that's happening out of the White House, and they never complain about it, is they love, they feel safe having adult supervision, even if the adult is simian.
And conservatives with it.
Yeah, I think your cell phone is sounds like digital soup, my friend. Hey, thank you so much, Dave. Really appreciate your call. Let's say hi next to, what do you think, Benita on Winds in Sunny Isles, Florida. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Benita.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm between swell and groovy.
okay. I wanted to talk about, now that the bailout has passed, the Secretary of the Treasury can now implement one of two plans. Either the Paulson plan, which is to use the taxpayers' billions to buy the crappy bad debt loans from the banks, or he can use the alternative plan. I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of it, and I can't find it. But we'll still be spending those billions to buy worthless stuff to save the banks from their reckless gambling debts, but we will also, because of the money spent, own a portion of the bank. It's fair and it's simpler. But powerful, powerful bank lobbies hate the idea and probably, you know, don't want the Secretary of the Treasury to do this. And therefore
he won't. He's not interested.
Well, who can we, you know, call our representatives, call congressmen to urge.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It worked for a few days. If you'll recall, the American public overwhelmingly went buggety, went nuts.
Absolutely.
Faxing, emails. We saw 50 to 1. I mean, extraordinary numbers hammering the House of Representatives and the Senate. And they did hold off this bailout for a number of days. It really worked until they were bribed. And as we heard earlier from Congressman Brad Sherman of California, that many congresspeople were threatened with martial law, using the U.S. troops to attack their constituents, American citizens, if they did not vote for it. And also, you know, they cranked out another $150 billion worth of extortion. In other words, things like extension of increased alternative minimum tax exemption amounts. It goes on. I've got section 401, 402, 501, exemption from excise tax from certain wooden arrows designed for use by children. This is just one. All of these things, when they go back for re-election, they can say, by the way, now you have enhanced charitable deductions for contributions of food inventory.
Right.
Congratulate,
right. Okay.
Whatever.
That's why I didn't say $77 billion, because that's just the beginning. But the thing is, if we own a portion of the banks, that's something, at least.
It's something if the bank has value. If you hand it over to the people, let them own it, and then just close it because now they, you know, they now own the albatross, and you move on and start something new that they don't own. This is the part that we have to stop.
Well, okay. What's the best way to do that?
Well, the best way is to contact and just in a calm, pleasant tone, because as soon as you scream and yell, they glaze over, but urge your representatives to just say no, like Nancy Reagan. Stand with a glass of champagne in your left hand and a cigarette in your right hand and just say no to drugs. All right, honey, have a great night, okay?
All right,
take care. 800-989-1480. Harrison with you, in for Mike Malloy. Mike's going to be back tomorrow. I have had a wonderful time hanging with you here and from our Nova M Hollywood studios.
Hey, Harrison.
Yes?
Hey, I just wanted to say...
Are you on the air?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
I wanted to say I appreciate you filling in tonight. I really do. And you did a great job, and I hope that we can see you back here soon, okay?
Thank you. That is Ian Huff in our Phoenix studios. Wow, that was unexpected and awesome. Thank you, my friend. Ian is really in charge of so many of these shows and handles extraordinary amounts, volumes of work, unimaginable. But the radio industry is a whole lot like every other industry where you have the job of 17 people. So you do an awesome job as well, my friend. And let me just acknowledge the tireless hard work and the lash marks on your shoulders are very attractive, especially when you're wearing your sun frock. So I thank you too, my friend. And I want to thank everyone who listens to Mike. You guys are so awesome. And without the millions of people who get it, who care, who want a civil society, who want a better world to live in, imagine if we all just vanished and all that was left were the vampires with their fangs stuck so deeply, deeply in, I don't know. I can't even think anymore, but what's a mother to do, right? Serve Total. Isn't that what the commercial used to be? Suddenly, Serve Total. That's the answer. Eat cereal. Oh, my. You can always visit me anytime at GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. Thanks so much, and have a great night.